Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this live presentation for the Spiritual Abundance Course members. For the next 30 minutes, we'll be sharing journeys, energizing our goals and dreams, and getting into the flow of inspiration, affirmation, and blessings that are waiting for us all. Get ready for a fun and fabulous session. Here are Deb and Jean.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello.
This is Deb.
And Jean.
And we are coming to, should I turn off the fan?
I think that's a wonderful idea.
It's very loud.
Look at all this.
Deb is surrounded by electronics.
I am.
The air is thick with electromagnetic energy around you, Deborah.
It's bugging me, man. It's bugging me. It's much quieter now. That's nice.
And so this is week four.
Our last week.
Yes. Only one more call after tonight.
Mm-hmm.
For those people taking our 28 days of prosperity.
Mm-hmm. We are. I can't. The time has just flown. I can't believe we're coming up to the end of, this is the last weekend coming up in July.
And I am thinking, here comes Christmas.
No.
Ho, ho, ho.
There's still a whole month left. Well, a month and a half left of summer. So, or more.
Autumn. The days are getting shorter.
Oh, shush.
I do love autumn.
Although this past week or so has been
hell.
We have been put to the test.
That was a statement of that was a weather report when I said hell. It was a reference to the temperatures.
It's been very hot, very stormy a couple of days ago. We've been without power. Our air conditioner broke down. It's just been one thing after another. And you know, this is a challenge. We're teaching this beautiful, wonderful program, and we have to do it ourselves. You know, we've got to get to the point where we look at what's going around us. We talked about chemicalization last week,
and wow, boy, did it chemicalize in a hurry!
More chemicals. Oh. So we figure we're manifesting something really, really large, because it's been an extended period of chemicalization. But with the supermoon last night, I think a lot of things have kind of shaken out today, and things are feeling more peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
But we did, actually it was nice that we had the power out for about
a day.
Yeah, and just the quiet of the house. And if you are in that kind of situation where you're in a power out, the angels tell us that that is the most perfect time. It's one of the most effective spaces of time to do manifestation work.
Because we don't have the electromagnetic energy interfering.
That's right.
It makes it a little bit tough. That's why I understand that this is why when we go to places of nature, mm-hmm. away from the electromagnetic fields of the city, that we're able to connect better. They're even saying now people should go out and walk barefoot on the grass. They call it grounding. Because people need to have that connection to the earth, and it's very healing and relaxing.
Well, that makes sense, because most of us are walking around with a smartphone in our pocket,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, a tablet of some sort, you know.
Our cars are all electromagnetic now. It's all computerized.
When you think about it, you know, and I'm thinking about my oldest son, who doesn't go anywhere without his headphones in and his MP3 player going. So we are constantly connected with that electromagnetic world of technology. Somebody once said that we're all billionaires. There's billions of dollars floating through the air, through us and around us at any time. We've got microwaves, we've got radio waves, we've got all of these unseen things that are bombarding us all the time. So it makes sense to me to get barefoot. Actually, I married a couple last week, and she insisted on being barefoot.
Mhm.
It was good.
Well, they suggest that either on grass or earth.
Mhm.
But yeah, when we lose
the
electricity,
not hot sand
or asphalt.
No, that is not conducive.
No. But it is important that, you know, we remember that when we are surrounded by all this electromagnetic energy, thoughts are also electromagnetic energy, and
yeah.
the kind of work we're doing is working with energy. And so probably, I don't know, I didn't do any research, but I would expect that the Wiccan people who like to go outdoors
mm-hmm.
for all their ceremonies and get barefoot on the lawn, you know, makes a bit more sense. Because if you're going to be working with energy, as
mm-hmm.
they do and as we do,
mm-hmm.
In different ways, but, you know, anyone working with law of attraction is dealing with energy, then anything that would impede that energy, you know, has to be taken into consideration. I don't know why you're laughing.
I just had an image of us going out on the front lawn, skyclad, that's all, and with the full moon behind us.
My eyes.
I don't think you have to go to that extreme. You know,
my thought was barefoot in robes when I said they do their rituals. It didn't occur to me anything else, but God bless them.
No encumbrances whatsoever.
Okay, well, I didn't go there, but okay.
Free is the day they were born.
I'll not condemn it.
No, for some people that's very meaningful.
I'm so glad you didn't say freeing. Anyway, so tonight we have a question from one of the people in our class, and she is concerned on a couple of different levels, but the question that she posed to us was with regard to specific techniques for manifesting. Mm-hmm. Ha, 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 ha. What a timely question.
She must be psychic.
She must be, because we're going to be dealing with that all week long. Every day in your task and your affirmation, you'll be working with different techniques specifically designed to assist you in your manifestation.
Now, you've come to week 4. You've had 3 weeks prior to this, and there's been a deliberate building. Like, the
mm-hmm.
course has been designed in this way, so that first week was the heavy stuff. The heavy lifting, and that,
all those negative beliefs.
Yeah, getting into our heads, looking at that those beliefs, those that niggle up, the unconscious stuff that rears its ugly head.
Because we do. We have negative beliefs about money. My whole family. I have a history of family saying things like, "Oh, Jean does love her money, boy. She can make a $10 bill look sick."
Mm-hmm.
Back in the days when $10 was something. And it's true. I love money. I love earning it. I love spending it. I love having it. I love giving it away. I love money. There's no question. I enjoy what money can buy, and I enjoy accumulating money. Nevertheless, as deep a truth as that may be for me, believe me when I tell you there are still some very negative beliefs around money,
mm.
you know, rattling around in my head there.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard for me to reconcile more than getting by with priesthood.
Mm.
You know, in my birth tradition, the Roman Catholic Church, priests take a vow of poverty. Nuns take a vow of poverty. Only diocesan priests are allowed to have money.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it's kind of frowned upon if they have a whole lot of it. You know, so there's a real negative attitude around money that I grew up with that equated poverty with holiness.
Yeah.
So many of us have that same mental barrier,
well,
despite
yeah.
the fact that all those Old Testament guys were rolling in the stuff.
They were pretty wealthy.
They were very wealthy.
King Midas and all. But, sorry.
You went right off into mythology.
I did.
I was talking about, you know, the wealthy men of the Old Testament, like Abraham. I mean, good grief, the guy was rolling in the stuff. And even Joseph, after he was thrown into slavery, he became like the head of, you know, Pharaoh's household, and he was rolling in the money. You know, nevertheless, we kind of glossed over that in order to focus on poor Jesus. He didn't have a place to lay his head.
Well, and he would say that, like, only go out with one tunic, just wear one coat, you know, and you don't need more than that. And I can see that. Maybe,
Jesus said that?
Yeah, when you go out, just wear one tunic.
Ooh, well, that makes perfect sense. I mean, they're in the Middle East. You don't want to wear two.
Well, yeah, but he's saying travel light, basically. But that is, I'll find it for you later. I'll show
Thank
you.
Thank you. I want to see that.
When he sent out the disciples two by two.
Well, they were on the road. Okay, got it. Okay, now
I
remember. Okay.
Yeah, okay. But there is that mentality because the early Christians shared everything that they had. You know, it was communal living. It was, you know, what's yours is mine, and what's mine you can have too. And it that is a part of our hardwired understanding. It's kind of been passed down from generation to generation in all kinds of religious traditions. You know, the idea of, you know, the televangelists, the guys on TV, we kind of cast aspersion on them because, you know, they're doing pretty good. They've got million-dollar ministries, and they're driving pretty nice cars, and they've got nice homes and
airplanes,
and there's a judgment around that. But really, they're prosperous. They're working the law of attraction.
Well, and I remember reading, it might have been in a Hay House book, referring to, oh, people complain about the number of, you know, the amount of money teachers make compared to the amount of money that football players make. You know, dumb jocks, and they're pocketing millions.
Mm.
Teachers have worked and strived and blah, 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 and they're doing good, blah, 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 and what a pittance they get paid. Now, mind you, I'm a teacher, so I'm all for really big teacher salaries, and I'd love to turn it on its end and have the football players, you know, you're having fun playing football, you get $30,000 a year. Nevertheless, what the response was, it might have been Abraham, look how many people, football players, are satisfying.
Mm.
Look how many people they are impacting with their performance on the field. They are performing for millions of people.
Yeah.
Whereas teachers are performing for like a classroom full of people. They're saying that, you know, if there's a certain balance at work there in terms of the audience for the work of the one versus the work of the other.
Mm.
And I've been thinking about that off and on over the years. You know, so a televangelist does offer something, and they are fulfilling a need or a desire, like the football player, of millions of people.
True.
And so perhaps maybe it's not such a bad thing. And maybe it's not a bad thing at all if they're taking home a lot of money and do have luxurious homes.
Well, I think it all comes back to, is their heart in the right place? Are they true? Are they, because we have the attitude of love, of, you know, are they spreading joy? Are they offering a message that is of divine love? You're poking your nose.
Right on the nose. Boy, you got it, just as I'm hearing it from the angels.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that it isn't about the amount of money, it's about the heart of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, as students of the angels and prosperity and the law of love,
mm-hmm.
our task is to regard them all, football player, teacher, televangelist, the criminal who has made $42 million with his tell-all, you know, whatever, novel, to regard them all with equanimity and not judgment.
That's tricky.
And that's very hard. And there's another block to our prosperity.
Yes.
Nasty old judgment.
Yeah.
So that
right.
first week, we were dealing with all those things
in the second as well. It took a couple of weeks.
Well, then we were working on taking those beliefs and transforming them. First week was uncovering them. Second week was transforming them. What do we have to believe in order to be prosperous? And maybe one of the things we have to believe in order to be prosperous is that there's, you know, if you want to call it karma, if you want to call it divine justice, if you want to call it like Maud, God will get you for that, whatever you want to call it, there is a greater law at work and there is a divine balance. So that when we do observe around us things that make us take a step back and tempt us into a judgment,
mm-hmm.
a rejection, a
mm-hmm.
condemnation,
mm-hmm.
when we are tempted to those things, it's helpful to take a step back and just say, well, there is a higher law at work, and that law works far more perfectly than anything I could dream up.
Well, and I think we take what we're learning as we become prosperous and recognize that there's plenty for all, you know, there's no lack, that we can all tap into the same source, the same flow of energy. It's all energy. And once we recognize that, we can take a step backwards and we can look at prosperous people with new eyes. We can transform that belief. And we get quite zen-like, you know, what other people say has no bearing on me, you know, that's none of my business, you know, and just kind of be in that place of bliss where it doesn't have an impact. That's great. Oh, they've written a best-selling novel. That's wonderful. You've gone and purchased a multi-million-dollar property. Good for you. You know, you've won the lottery. It's your turn. Where we can actually, and not get personally invested, where we think, well, I want a million-dollar property. I want a car. I want, you know, because that little kid voice in us is going, aww.
And that little kid voice that we're all dealing with is reacting from a place of unbelief in the providence of God, the universe, whatever you want to name it. When we have an unshakable belief that we will be cared for, we will be provided for, we will have everything we need, when we actually come from that place of belief, then when, you know, we get into chemicalization, when we see all kinds of terrible things happening around us and the money, you know, we're bleeding money practically,
mm-hmm.
we can be peaceful on that thing, you know, this is going to pass and the money I need is going to come to me. And we see it happening all the time. May I share that with the car repair after you got into that, after that person hit you,
mm-hmm.
hit your car and kept on going,
mm-hmm.
there was an additional bill that the insurance did not cover, which was quite a few hundred dollars.
Yeah.
And when Deborah paid that bill, she was a little concerned about that because it was an unexpected expenditure, and it was a big one.
Well, and then my son comes home with a major toothache.
And another big dental bill. So there was money just rolling right on out. And then since then, you've gotten quite a few.
Today I received 2 wedding calls.
And renewal of vows. And there is a divine providence at work. I remember one time when there had been a real significant dip in revenue. There was a real scary time, and I remember within 2 days, $2,000 had come in through ordinary channels. It was unbelievable.
Now, one of the differences that I'm thinking in the last few days, I did get to the place where I was really, like, I was upset because
mm-hmm.
all this money was going out. We live unpredictably. We don't have a set income. I don't have the paycheck that I did for all those decades when I was a priest. So, you know, we live what we do. And so I was thinking, oh, my goodness, this is a lot of money. So Jean did channel for me, and she brought up our beloved angel Mickey, who reminded me that, you know, okay, everything is kind of upside down. He's a wonderful, delightfully playful angel in many ways, and calls me Deb. He's very, hey, Deb, hi, Deb. But he reminded me of trust and love. He said, what are you going to do? You're going to, look at you're doing everything right. Everything's flying around you like crazy, but you're doing everything right. And all you got to do is stick to it. You got to stick to the path. You got to trust, and you got
to
love.
And you have to trust love.
And you have to trust love. That's right. We never got that pun before. But you have to trust love. So if we're walking the walk, and if we're, even though things are flying around our heads, and, you know, all these crazy things have happened in the last few weeks, It's just, as Jean has said before, it's like the universe saying, is that your final answer? Are you gonna live what you know and you believe, what you've come to understand? Or are you going to go back into default and start worrying and chewing your fingernails, and which only makes things worse? You know, you're going to draw that worry energy into your life again. And so after, it was, you know, after talking with you, channeling Mickey, and talking to Mickey, I've been more peaceful. And look what's happened. We've actually received quite a bit of...
And I've got some readings.
Yes, readings and, opportunities to do things for people. So
unexpected income.
Unexpected income.
And that's what happened.
Trust, love.
Exactly. So our friend wanted to know, what's your best technique for manifesting? And the best technique is no technique at all. The best technique is getting to the place where you believe, getting to the place where you choose to trust,
mm-hmm.
even when you can't see a reason to. Deborah, I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, dear. It's true that when you, when you're up against the wall or you have a specific thing that you want to manifest into your life, we've read so many people and their understandings of prosperity and the ways the universe goes and flows. And I love the idea of the universal piggy bank, that everything we want, you want a $20 million lottery win, you can have it. If you want that multimillion-dollar house, you can have it. If you want something more personal in your life, a goal or a dream or a desire, love, whatever it is, it's there in the ethers. It's there on the, they call it like the ATM of the universe or whatever, however they put it. And so what you got to do is bring that into material earth plane.
Mm-hmm.
And so that becomes a matter of focus. There's lots of ways, and actually this week is going to be about playing with some of those techniques.
Oh, last week we worked on flowing energy.
Yes. How does that go for people? We hope that you understand energy more.
And if you don't, just email us. You know, those of you in our class, we'll work with you. So the idea of flowing energy is really important, but the attitude with which you flow it makes all the difference in the world, because while you may be intentionally flowing energy towards your goal, even when you are not thinking about it, you are still flowing energy.
Right.
So when you trip over the dog and you let loose a bloody blue streak of profanities, you have let go a lot of energy. You have been flowing energy, and because your emotion was high, the energy was strongly empowered. And because of that, and because of the attitude around it, which was not a very happy attitude, you have just empowered something not very happy.
Mm.
So if you're working on prosperity, you know, that would be a big no-no, because it will work opposite, counter. It will work counter to your purpose. So the attitude that you have to adopt is kind of like, oh, well, and then just turn back peacefully to something good. You know, okay, I've tripped over the dog. I've torn off my big toenail. I'm now bandaging it up, and it's going to be fine. I'll get a brand new toenail in a couple of weeks, and life is good.
Could have been so much worse.
It's kind of like a Pollyanna attitude, you know, the old Saturday Night Live skit with Julia Child, that she's, you know, bandaging up the stump of the arm. Oh, well, you know, and she just carries on. But really, you know, that's an old funny skit. But the point is that regardless of what's happening to us, we have to carry on.
Mm.
And the more we can do so with a happy and an optimistic attitude that doesn't dwell on the pain and the blood gushing, but the fact that, you know, it's going to be okay, no problem.
Just a flesh wound.
No problem. That's a real good attitude to take and to adopt. No problem. If something happens, not a problem. Something happens, piece of cake. The more, even when it doesn't feel like it. You know, it's one of those fake it till you make it things,
mm-hmm.
You know. And the truth is, it will be okay. The truth is, it's difficult, but it's not a problem. As my friend back home said, trouble is a problem money can't solve.
Yeah.
You know, and most of our troubles really are things that, had we money enough, they'd be gone. So, you know, that's another, you know, mindset that is conducive to prosperity. Taking the attitude that everything will be okay. Look back over your life. You can see when you've gone through very difficult things, and yet here you are standing.
Mm.
You've survived them all. And so if you can transfer that to your attitude around prosperity and relationships and all the other parts of your life that may be giving you a little difficulty, so that you can more honestly say, it'll be okay and I will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a big deal. I got this covered. That's a huge step toward prosperity, because all the negatives that come at you in life pull you down. And if you can dismiss them in this way, just kind of cast them aside in this way, then you're going to go so much farther, so much faster. So the most powerful technique we've got is really to adopt that type of attitude as much as you can in your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there are a lot of other things too, but we're going to be
a different one every week.
We're not going to tip the hand.
Tomorrow's lesson will be on two powerhouses.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to talk about them because they're in tomorrow's lesson.
Tomorrow's lesson will be arriving in your mailbox very early. But and also, we've had some good discussion coming out from group members. Other members we haven't heard from as much. So we're really concerned that, you know, you're sort of getting the idea from the lessons of the direction that the course is going. You know, if you're feeling overwhelmed, write us, let us know, call us. If you're feeling frustrated, because it was a lot of work the first couple of weeks.
And it was hard work.
And, you know, there might be some residue feelings because we've dredged up some some maybe not so pleasant stuff in the past that you've long forgotten. We've got some thunder here, so Mr. Murphy's about to burst.
But the attitude, the prosperous attitude about all those unpleasant thoughts and those painful issues that have been dredged up by all this work is that's good.
Yes.
It's just like when I was in the classroom teaching and the kids would say, oh my gosh, I got all these problems wrong in my homework. And I say, well, that's good because now you know what you didn't get before. Now I know what you need to know to help you.
Mm-hmm.
If you had gotten them all right by chance, you would have gotten a better grade maybe, but you wouldn't have learned as much as you're going to learn now.
Well, and that's true. The things that we go through in our past really do serve. They serve us with lessons. They serve us with challenges. I mean, we don't have to look back very far, perhaps, to see that, you know, things happen in our lives that we don't expect or we don't anticipate or we don't want to happen. But as we go through each valley, as we go through each challenge, the angels give the image of the people on the rink. You know, you're about to have a championship hockey game, and you get on the ice, and facing you are the biggest goon-like creatures you can imagine. And they are tough, and they are fierce, and they are ferocious, and they are obviously very skilled. And you're just looking at them thinking, what have I got myself into? I will never be able to take these guys on by myself. The angels say no, because you are at championship level, and you wouldn't be on that ice facing those opponents if you couldn't handle it. So that's always something to think about, and again, it's about attitude. You've got the attitude of self-confidence, of empowerment, that you can take it on and move through it. It's not always the easiest thing to do, but along the way, you learn about how strong you are and how smart you are, and how compassionate you are. And for me, going through those experiences, it's helped me understand what other people are going through much more easily. When I do a funeral, I know where those people are. When I'm talking to somebody about a breakup of a marriage, I know what those people are going through. So it, you know, it also helps us be more empathic and more compassionate and more able to reach out to each other in love. Again, it all serves well.
And the fact that you've been through it supports you in trusting. Because if you've done it once, you can do it again. If you've been through this, you know, this set of circumstances have been painful, yet you survived, then the one coming up, you can also survive.
That's
so
right.
There's that. The other thing, I know we're running out of time. It's got only a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that comes to mind, and the angels have been kind of hammering away at this lately, is to do your work without an expectation, to do your prosperity work without an expectation. Because as soon as you put an expectation on it, you weigh it down.
Yeah.
It's as though you're sending out a balloon, but you're tying all this stuff onto the bottom of it. I want it by tomorrow. I want it to be this amount of money. I want it to come, you know, and you start adding all these expectations onto it.
Mm-hmm.
Two things happen. You weigh it down so you don't get the result you want, and then failure to get the result you want destroys your trust.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is like putting money in the savings account. You're not spending it yet. You're saving it, right? And when you do your energy work, you're sending it out there to start building, accruing interest, as it were. It's working for you even though you don't see it.
Yeah.
And even though interest, you know, when you accrue interest, you know, that oh, it's such a small amount, but then you do the interest rate by every month, and you know, just look at your credit card bill to find out how quickly interest adds up, right? So when you're doing your energy work, consider it. You don't see it yet, but it's accruing interest. It's building in power. It's moving it closer, and it's building in intensity as well. And all that bodes well for you. So expectations and attitude, two major, major ways that you can whatever practice you're following, you know, even if you're just crossing your fingers and hoping, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever practice you follow, as long as you release those expectations and keep the attitude of happiness and positive energy around it, you're going to be seeing results.
Joyful anticipation.
Mm-hmm. Be joyful.
Yes, be joyful in all things. I'm looking at my list. I think we've covered everything.
I believe we did. I think we're very organized tonight. I'm proud.
We are incredibly organized. Pat ourselves on the back.
I would if I could reach it.
Well, what are we going to do? Well, thank you for listening. You'll get your lesson tomorrow morning.
That's right.
It will be the last 7 days, and then we'll have one more broadcast a week tonight just to sum everything
debrief.
Up.
Debrief.
Debriefed. So if you have questions about the techniques, they're going to be they're pretty self-explanatory.
You'll get a lesson every day.
Yes, but it will be exciting, and you can play.
Keep blowing that energy.
Yeah.
Toward all manner of good things. And if you have listened into the broadcast, thank you. And if you are not members of the class and you would like to find out more about 28 days or the longer courses that we offer with support, just check out www.theangelladies.com. You can find us on Facebook, The Angel Ladies. You can find us not so much Twitter.
No, not so much Twitter. I just find that there's so many things to do in a day that it's just one more thing to remember.
But we're there on Facebook, The Angel Ladies, and of course the website, theangelladies.com.
Often we put up angel messages and
mm-hmm.
little pithy sayings and things
beautiful
to help
graphics
you in your
that
day.
Jennifer designs. So if you're interested in taking an angel class or a prosperity class or any of the other things that we offer, check us out. And in the meantime, we wish you every blessing.
Thank you for joining us.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.